They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
Why in the world am I sitting back and being quiet about this?
Matt Hayes.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
And Leon Searcy.
If you can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the porch.
How you like me now?
Hey, ready to rock and roll? It is draft week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You guys know it. You've been counting it down just like we have, but we welcome you into XL Primetime. 2 to 4 this afternoon, and it's going to be mostly about your Jaguars and the draft as we are 4 days and counting. Thursday night, you're going to be just all in looking to see who the next Jacksonville Jaguar is and what this entire draft looks like. And so we'll pose the question, is there chatter out there that this football team could be moving up? And if so, who are they going to go get? Who do they want? We'll ask all those questions. A Mocama Beer Company Monday. You got great craft inside each and every one of those barrels when they are brewing it up there in Fernandina Beach. They're on South 8th Street as you approach the historic district, an old 1950s car dealership, and they're serving craft Tuesday through Sunday, coffee every single day, along with their Wildlight location. Make sure you check out Mocama Beer Company. All right, fellas, the countdown is on. We have finally made it to draft week. And you know what? I'm happy, Leon, that we spent most of April instead of most of 2024 talking about the draft. You know, we haven't been doing it this entire time. But this month, we've definitely drilled down, and now it's full focus.
Well, yeah, it's draft week, and it's big time week. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, fellas. Over the weekend, I was a little nervous because I was worried about a disaster because the potential of partying before draft week. Because I've been in that situation before, the week before the draft, that weekend.
Right.
You know, you're invited to this party, that club, and I was hoping that I didn't have to see any tickers of players getting caught up in that kind of mess. So I applaud them. I applaud them to not making that weekend an exact disaster. But besides all that, listen, the Jaguars are in a situation that we're not accustomed to because years back we were talking about the draft before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The season was a wash, and we had nothing else to talk about. Yeah. They were on a losing streak or whatever, and we talked about the draft.
We even had years where Halloween let us off.
You're right, absolutely. Halloween let us off. I mean, so despite the disappointment of the Jaguars not making the playoffs, they still piqued our interest throughout the season, the fact that they still were contenders moving into the last game of the season. But it's just unfortunate it didn't make the playoffs. But now it's April, it's draft week. Let's get it done.
Let's get it going, man. Matt, when we start looking at the idea, and we'll throw out the X poll because I think more than anything else, I want to know what people think. We'll probably make it a different draft question each day, but just kind of focus on the idea of the first two picks, the order you want to see them fall in, and then also is there an opportunity where they might move up and be aggressive go after one of those wide receivers?
Guard.
Oh, God. Yeah, they ain't going to have to move
O-line.
Up to go guard.
O-line, man. Yeah. I want O-line. And I'm not getting off it. And my guess is they're probably going corner or wide receiver or wide receiver corner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting off O-line because I watch that O-line.
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot. I watched them play last year.
Yeah, I don't mind you sticking with your feelings and thoughts because there's
I think it's more than that. I think it's analysis. We all watch them play.
Right.
And I know there were injuries, okay? I get that. But we all watched them play, and we all saw a subpar line. We saw a subpar line really the year before. They weren't that good either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're doubling down now on this idea that the one time they were all together, it was only once last year. It was the last game of the season. Last game of the season. And what happened that last game of the season, that O-line, Leon?
We stunk.
Yeah,
we
and stunk. They took a big L.
Yeah, and we lost the game. Add on to it.
Now, again, and I can understand that, it was the only time they were together. You got to give these guys a full off season to get together and to understand each other and find each other.
Forget about that.
I just want somebody that's going to be nasty and filthy and physical.
And by the way, if you felt that way then, there's no reason to change it now.
Mm.
My only thought is that after they've done everything and they've taken a look at the value of each player, is there a true starter or a true dynamic difference maker in the first round at that position that they're going to be able to plug in and play right away? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, I think they know who they want right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
I think so too.
Among
I think so
like
too.
Two, three guys, they know who they want.
Yeah. And it depends on who falls, who comes off the board. If you think they're running out of a position group, that also has something to do with it. If you feel like there's going to be a run on wide receivers or a run on cornerbacks, whatever it might be, then you got to get aggressive and you might have to advance a little bit to make sure you get your guy. All right, so RJ, set up the X poll because we got it cranking and we want you guys to get in on it. It's real easy to go to X and vote. Tell us.
Absolutely. Our poll question, our XL Primetime X poll question, brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Toyota and Beaver Chevrolet. What two-position combo for your Jaguars would make you the happiest after the first two rounds of the NFL draft? That's up right now on X. All you have to do is search 1010XL. And Joe, right now, it seems that offense first and defense second, to be more specific, wide receiver and cornerback would be the selection choices that the listeners would love.
Yeah, I want to put the combos out there and see what you guys think, because I'm looking at wide receiver and cornerback. Would you be happy with that? O-line and wide receiver. Would you be happy with that? O-line and cornerback. So now you got the combo of a big man and a little man on one side of the ball and on the other side of the ball, or cornerback, and I'm throwing defensive tackle in as a wild card. Mm-hmm. Because defensive tackle is being largely ignored.
Yeah. I mean, more so than the combo meal that we're asking to get, yeah, no matter what it may be. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about how effective these players are going to be once they get drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, because last year, if anything showed us last year, is that this Jaguar team, it got a three-piece last year. And only one piece was good, which was the first round pick. So I mean, I just want to make sure that whoever they go after in these first two or three round picks, whatever, they got to be effective, they got to be impactful, they've got to be day one starters. I don't want to hear this notion about you got to groom and all that kind of stuff. We go lineman, if we go big at the first pick overall, he's got to be a stud. He's got to come in there and take a position. He's got to make people uncomfortable. That's what I want. I want a big nasty that can come in there and move furniture and make people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I want him to have a temperament. I want him to be mean, nasty, finish, and all that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff can be contagious. What did we talk about all last year about this offense lying down the stretch? They were soft. They were soft. They got beat up. Those games that they lost,
True. They
got physically beat up front. Run blocking, pass protecting Trevor, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I want. I want somebody that's going to be a tempo setter.
Plus, I mean, if you order a three-piece, every once in a while, they'll slip up and give you five.
Yes.
And that's all right.
Tight lady, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you order the three and all of a sudden the guy you drive is a little bit more than you think he is,
mm-hmm,
nothing wrong with that either.
Not at all. Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that might be what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to get something that you think is going to help, that's a – again, they're all these picks are 50-50s. But I just – the history of this draft is wide receivers picked high is more than – a 50-50 proposition. It's like a 30-70 proposition,
yeah,
or 20-80. All right?
Go ahead.
So I just think if you're moving up to take a receiver, that is a big, big, big gamble. Big gamble. And even a corner, if you really think about it, because it's rare. Both of those positions are positions where you can get starters in the league and very good starters to great starters,
mm-hmm,
in second, third, fourth, and fifth round. So I think we've seen that. The big dudes don't grow on trees, man. You just can't grab a big dude in the fifth round and say, all right, there you go. We're going to plug him in a guard and he's gonna go. It doesn't happen.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you now. So you wouldn't have a problem if the Jaguars moved up to go get an elite offensive tackle. Let's say the guy from Penn State.
Like Joe Alt, Notre Dame.
Joe Alt. Yeah, he's not going to be there. But
By the way, Joe Alt is an impressive
cat. He is.
If he's there at like eight for some reason because five quarterbacks go, I'd do backflips if they did that.
Mm-hmm.
I might need a trampoline to help me do the backflip, but I would do backflips.
And that's what it's going to boil down to. Are they going to fall in love with a guy that they think they can't live without?
Mm-hmm.
That they have to have that guy at that position? Because we should never fall into the idea or the trap that, hey, there's a bunch of offensive linemen, you're going to get one of them, or there's a bunch of cornerbacks or a bunch of wide receivers, to suggest they're all the same. They ain't.
Mm-mm.
Okay? They ain't. What were the other two guys that were drafted in the first round with you? Bob Whitfield.
Yeah, Bob Whitfield and Ray Roberts.
And you were better than them, okay?
So in my mind, of course.
They ain't all the same.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, a guy like Joe Alt, I mean, you're talking about Trevor being generational. He's a generational left tackle. He's the type of guy. His comparison, I was watching it on the TV, his comparison is Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas, for sure.
That, you can't do no better than that. You're talking about a guy who's been a perennial All-Pro on one of the worst franchises ever,
mm-hmm,
but always made the All-Pro team. I mean,
always available.
Always available. Always available. He's the type of guy like we talk about. you put him at that position, you turn the head, next decade he good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guy you want. That's the kind of guy that changes franchises.
100%. All right, how stoked are you guys to finally get to draft week? You can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Jump in on the subject like our texters, O-line and cornerback, please. That's what they're looking for. So you can give me the combination. You can give me a player on both sides of the ball, however you want to do it, but just hit us with the idea of where you think they're going to start construction on 2024 on a better football team. And don't forget what you felt at the end of the season. That's Matt's point. Do not forget what you felt, what you thought. At the end of the season, you're like, the month of December and early January, you got black-eyed. That's what happened. Mm. You got black-eyed. You got dotted again and again and again. Bruised, battered, beaten, all of that stuff. And you came out of it defeated. 5 losses in 6 games. The only team you beat is the worst team in the National Football League.
The only game you won was with C.J. Beathard, a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly, which is still
– who's no longer your backup. Well, whatever.
Yeah, he's however competing. That works,
he's
that
competing.
Jones, right. He and Mac. All right, but anyway, that's the feeling. Don't forget that part of it. And so now you start to look and you go, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to make you the most – like I mentioned how impressive Joe Alt is. Rome Odunze is one impressive cat too. Mm-hmm. That is a guy that – just in terms of personality, drive, everything that he has that is in his makeup,
mm-hmm.
You love a guy like that. Now, remember, we've got guys with maybe some, I don't know, character traits that may cause concern. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're looking at drafting players, you got to look at what's their work ethic, are they prepared, do they show up on time, are they good teammates, you know, all that type of stuff. And Odunze checks, for my money, mm-hmm. a ton of boxes. And they still haven't 100% given us the indication that that wide receiver room is 100% built. That's why I'm starting to at least think about that. Mm. But Matt says,
don't
go jumping up there.
No, my point is I think Trevor very easily could have said, we need a better receiver. We need a one. Mm-hmm. He could have easily said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And their goal was obviously to put everything around him, give him the best possible chance of winning
right.
and reaching his ceiling. And if he thinks it's a one receiver, then, you know, more than likely that's going to be the priority of that over an offensive lineman is going to be there. I'm just saying, I watched that offensive line. I don't look. They can say they're comfortable with that offensive line all they want. I've mm-hmm. watched it. I've watched those guys play separately with others.
Yeah,
and it's not a good sight.
Mm-hmm. No, but, I don't like what we saw. That's for sure. It's the way they graded out at the end. They did not win any physical
right
battle.
Together or separately. Yeah. I don't like what I saw.
I mean, but we've even mentioned the fact that Doug feels sometimes by running so-called running it back, that he can scheme his way.
He's going to out-scheme.
I'm just saying.
Third and half a yard, and he's going to go 10 personnel.
I'm just saying. I mean, we,
Doug
we've seen
press.
It.
Doug or press.
Whoever it is.
Whoever.
One of the two
about,
of them.
How about going like 3 tight end set and it's third and half a yard? Go get the yard.
Exactly. I agree. But, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before that it seems like Doug or press, whoever's making the call, mm-hmm. I mean, they schematically try to beat you offensively instead of just lining up. Your man saying my man's better.
Yeah, they tried to.
My man's going to whip your man, and we're going to get this, y'all.
Yeah, and when you say scheme it up, they tried to out-cute you. Honestly, when you – what's that classic line? If you've got to run trick plays, it means you can't run real plays.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat someone at the line of scrimmage. And I do think what they were doing, and it's press, Doug, press, however you want to – whoever you want to give credit or blame to, they didn't think they could knock somebody off the ball. They didn't.
True.
And that's why they ended up going in the direction that they went in.
That's 100%.
Yeah, that's the way it appears, it feels to me. So if they were to go offensive line, then I can still envision a world where Cam Robinson is up for sale, up for grabs. I still think he's a valued player in that locker room, but he's also an expensive player in that locker room, and they want to renew it. And if they do that, then they're going to be looking at shopping him because you can't have – you have 3 starters at the tackle position right now mm-hmm. with 2 spots. You got Anton Harrison, who played every game last year. Mm-hmm. You got Walker that is in his final year. Got to figure out what you got, what you don't, and then obviously the expensive Cam. So, all right, you guys get in. 641-1010. Do you guys think maybe they use players in trades this year like Zay Jones for a move-up? Well, I could use that Cam Robinson as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Zay – If they don't do anything in terms of making a bold play to go get a wide receiver, Zay's part of your plans. Zay's about, what is it, $11 million? Cam's about $17 million. You start adding guys like that up, they do get pricey. So if you go for a tackle, you may move Cam. If you go for a wide receiver, you may move Zay. There's no reason not to think that that's possible. That's for sure. All right, 641-1010. You guys jump in on that. You can go to YouTube, search 1010XL. You can jump in there. And as RJ said, at 1010XL, vote on the X poll and let us know what you're thinking. Because the big uglies are definitely going to get a lot of votes, but maybe give us a thought or two and rationale as far as which ones you're going for. That's for sure. Over the weekend, our Lakers just got worked fourth quarter of that game. 10 o'clock tip tonight, Big Sirs.
I saw that, man. I mean, listen, you just got
to – they're going to be able to bounce back.
Well, listen, you just, at some particular point, you just got to say, you know what? The Nuggets are better.
No, I ain't saying that. They beat them nine straight, bro.
They beat them nine straight. What more could LeBron and AD do, bro? They combined for 59 points and still can't get it done.
But do not surrender after game one.
Bro, 9-0. No, I'm talking about they've not – LeBron, they are 0-9 against the Nuggets, bro.
RJ, it's a wrap. Is that what you're saying, too? This is a open gym, RJ Saunders.
No, I'm not saying that it's a wrap. However, I am saying that when you have a guy in Austin Reeves who looked very timid to shoot the ball in game one, and you had D'Angelo Russell go 1-for-9 from behind the arc and 6-for-20 from the field, like, what else did you want, as Leon said, what else did you want LeBron and AD to do?
Yeah, they did their job. Others did not. And D'Lo, at times, has definitely been an asset, a scoring threat from the outside. Reeves certainly is a scoring threat from the outside. But, yeah, you can't do that. And there were times when Anthony Davis was physical against Nikola. And then Nikola is immediately looking at the refs, complaining to them, which just drives me crazy. Anyway, we'll take a look at a handful of the NBA games. Joel Embiid. Looking pretty rough after the injury once again. That guy, he put himself in a position to come back and play, and now they're also not looking like they're 100% in whole because he's already been knocked to the ground and is looking more and more like an injured player that may have come back too soon. So we'll get into the NBA as we go along today. Scottie Scheffler wins this morning, so we'll do a little weekend rewind coming up in just a little bit. It's XL Primetime, Mokama Beer Company, bringing you today's show. We'd love for you to jump in. 641-1010. Tell us what you're thinking about your Jaguars in the draft.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Transfer portal, hot and heavy, as you can imagine. And this is a name that you certainly recognize. I don't know if a young son has as much game, but Michigan State wide receiver Antonio Gates Jr. has entered the NCAA transfer portal. Pete Nakos. And he is, of course, son of NFL legend Antonio Gates. And I guess he's just one of, I don't know, tens, hundreds, thousands by the time it's all over with Matt, that will be entering the transfer portal because the list got bigger and bigger and bigger over the weekend.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just, but that kind of dovetails in if you're talking about just got bigger over the weekend. Something else got bigger over the weekend. The concern at the Florida State quarterback position. Because DJU, he did not play well. Let's just put it that way. And I get it. It's a spring game. And some of his throws were in controlled situations. But when they were out there going offense against defense, it did not look good.
Well,
he completed 13 to 29 passes, which is well under 50%, which, again, if you're in college football right now and you're a quarterback and you're playing at an elite level, you're completing 70% of your passes.
13 of 29, is that bad?
This is kind of the thing I've been talking about. He's not going to be Jordan Travis. You have to understand that. That's number one. Number two, it's going to take time for him to develop in what Mike Norvell is teaching him, how he's developing him. That's number two. Number three, the receivers aren't nearly as good as they were before. Malik Benson got hurt. He has a leg injury. He's their best player. He got hurt in that game. Doesn't look like it's going to be a problem for the season, but they don't have guys on the outside that are difference makers that they had prior. Hakeem Williams, who's got a ton of talent, he just hasn't developed yet. He's a young guy. This is his second year. But they were hoping he would take this huge step in this spring, and it just hasn't happened yet. To me, it's a red flag. To me, if I'm looking at that and I think, all right, this is now year five for him in college football.
Yeah, and
I don't know that there should. I don't know that there should be this type of transition for him. He shouldn't be completing 13 of 29 passes in a spring game. So my question is, with Jaden Rashada out there, does FSU go after Jaden Rashada? That's the question, because that's a dude with a ton of talent.
Now, on the other side of the coin, I mean, their defense could be a little better, and you may struggle because of
big time.
Because here's the thing. Because when I saw the Miami spring game with Cam Ward, and he throws for over 300 yards and three touchdowns and completes 70% of the passes against our defense, that's concerning to me. That's a little concern to me. Now, I know he's a baller, and I know he's, a fifth-year, sixth-year senior, something like that?
Cam Ward, sixth-year senior.
So, where everybody was getting excited about how productive he was in that spring game, I'm saying to myself, what the hell is our defense doing? Mm-hmm. Now, you saying with DJ, with him being as terrible as he played in that game, I mean, you're not giving any reference to the defense that they might have played
well? I think you have to look at a couple things. Number one, it's the position. Mm-hmm. So, it's the quarterback position. And comparing those two was a very good comparison, by the way, because they're both fifth-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're both guys that you would think would be able to go into a new system in spring and at least play at a strong level because they've been doing it for 5 years now, right?
Yeah.
He looked like a freshman out there.
Wow.
DJ did. Whereas Cam Ward looked really good. Now,
mm-hmm.
I think the Florida State defense will be better. Okay, that's number one. They're not as good as they were last year, right? They lost basically the top five players from that defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be really good on the edge, all right? I think Shea Treson and Marvin Jones Jr. is going to play really well for them. But the reality is they have taken a huge step down from quarterback from mm-hmm. Jordan Travis, the DJU.
We're going to talk to Jeff Cameron, who covers him, has been covering him forever, in the 3 o'clock hour after the quarterback whisper makes a visit here. But it's not following Nick Saban, okay? It's not Kalen DeBoer following Nick Saban. But whoever the quarterback is that follows Jordan Travis with a pretty damn good, memorable career, especially the way he finished getting hurt and everyone watching this undefeated team not make it into the college football playoff, they're all seething mad up on the reservation, and they want to see that next guy step in and get them right back to where they feel that they should
confident.
Be.
He doesn't look confident back there.
Okay, so here's the thing. I am more
of a – His feet are constantly moving.
I think he's – I shouldn't even say he's pressing or anything like that because you should look good in the spring. Let's all be real. This is not throwing against air, but you should look good in the spring. It's set up for success. It's not you against somebody else. It's set up where you can script it. You know what your offense is trying to do. Yes, it's a bunch of good ones on the other side of the ball, but you should have more success than failure in spring game. So I'll go with Matt on that one 100%. If he's 13-29, that's no bueno. But at the same time, Mike Norvell's got to say, okay, man, the only way you're going to have this job and it's going to be yours when we get to fall training camp is that you better do the work in this offseason to learn your reads, learn the offense, and learn how to make these throws and make good decisions.
Well, the reason why it's concerning to me is because, I mean, he's facing these same guys in practice. The only difference is a game-time situation. So you're telling me in game-time situations, you know, which he looked leery. He looked unconfident. I mean, because he's facing these same guys in practice every day. Only difference is now you've got refs, you got a clock, you got timeouts, you're calling plays, you're in the huddle, all that kind of stuff. Well, it's no difference than what maybe how he's played, or maybe he hasn't looked that well in practice. Because you're supposed to shine in spring.
I went back and watched some video in practice, and he did not look like he was ready to assume the role.
He's
really
constantly
did.
Throwing off his back foot. That's a problem, okay? And if you that happens with young quarterbacks because they're not secure in where they are in the pocket and they're not secure in how they're reading the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's for 5 years now, like he should be in a situation where he knows where everything that's going to happen before it happens out there. And he looks like a guy that is very confused right now.
When quarterbacks like that aren't confident as far as, you know, throwing the ball, that has a lot to do with their offensive line and their protection.
Of course. Yeah.
So, how many guys at Florida State lost in the front line to where he's dealing with a lot younger guys that may be giving a little bit more pressure?
They're a different guy. I mean, Jeremiah Byers isn't – they thought he would be a lot better than he is, and he's not. He was a transfer, I think, from UTEP, where he came from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't really developed like they want. They had a couple recruits that haven't really developed like they want yet. So they're getting there on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not as good as they were last year, but still, this is a situation where it's a scrimmage that is set up really for offense to have success, both offenses, first and second team offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't look good.
Put
it this way, if I'm a Florida State fan and I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, all right, maybe Jaden Rashada might be a good answer for us right now.
All right, Seminole Nation, let us know. Hit the text line, especially if you made the trip up I-10 and over to Tallahassee to watch it, just let us know. 641-1010. Like we said, we'll have Jeff Cameron a little bit later on. But it's so funny because the Jaden Rashada, Cormani McClain, you can go down the line with these guys that were heralded and supposed to be all of that, and they're already on the move. Jaden Rashada started some games out Arizona State, looked okay, but by like, should people be rushing to knock down the door to get to him, Matt? Look, Cormani McClain, should they be rushing to get to him and have him on their football team after what Deion said, which it sounded pretty damning as far as, like, in other words, a lot of hype and headline associated with these players, but is there meat and potatoes to these players as far as the skill set that you want that can come in and get the job done?
Well, first off, as I'm going to answer that real quick. Right now they're showing a video of J.J. McCarthy. We're going to get into this later as well. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's put on – look at him. He's put on 15 pounds, easy, if not more. He's a big dude now. That's a dude that's ready for the NFL right now.
That, I was wondering.
He's jumping.
That, I am jumping. That, I am, but I was
shocked
by that.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I was shocked by jumping, that. So all right, just, so I just want to say, Jaden Rashada has got skills. He's got some serious skills. The kid can play. I think even when he played – the little bit that he played last year, okay – the little bit he played last year at Arizona State, eventually redshirted, he looked really good. Georgia wants him right now. That's one of the three teams he's visiting.
If he were to go there and sit behind Carson Beck, that may be the best thing that could happen for him and give him a chance just to see it, learn it, know it, all that type of stuff. Because I argue all the time that I think guys with that, you know, if they're bona fide, coming out of high school, play them right away because they're going to be gone in 3 years.
Plus,
time.
He wasn't – here's another thing, too. Despite what went on with the whole NIL thing at Florida and everything that was or wasn't, you know, however you want to look at it or however you think you heard, he went to Arizona State. And after he left, Kenny Dillingham, who's one of the best dudes going in football, tweeted out, "I have nothing but the highest respect for Jaden. I hope he does well. I hope he has a great career, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
So he clearly was not a problem at Arizona State.
No, I'm not even doubting that. But I'm just,
no, I mean in comparison to Cormani McClain, who Deion from the jump said the dude doesn't go to class, doesn't go to meetings, shows up late.
Yeah, that's a heck of a thing.
Yeah,
and people
that's damning. Yeah. Absolutely, then when your head coach is calling you out like that
from the jump.
But here's the thing about guys like that, 5-star guys like that. You know, they've been coddled since they were in Pop Warner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they got to crash and burn. They got to hit rock bottom to realize how and what a blessing it is to be in this situation right now and take advantage of it. Because, you know, Cormani McClain, he had all these schools after him. Everybody, you know, kissing his rear end, telling him how great he is. And then maybe kids like that have a tendency to kind of slack off. Hey, I've already made it. I've done it, whatever. Sometimes they need to crash and burn at some particular point so they can be humble. And then they can get back to what's really important, which is, you know, going to school and playing a little ball.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for all of them to be successful in their own way wherever they land. Mississippi State, Auburn, and Georgia are teams in the Southeastern Conference looking at Jaden Rashada. And I don't know whether he will be a terrific success or a dismal failure. I really don't know. I just – the constant movement is what always makes you raise eyebrows. You can go to Dante Moore out in UCLA. Well, the coach left after Dante Moore left, so it's not like you're saying that he was tucking and running, but he does go somewhere else. And now he's going to be sitting behind Dylan Gabriel when he goes up to Oregon. So I'm just trying to figure out what these guys are all about. He could have had
He played really well in the spring. Allegedly, he'll be playing behind Dylan Gabriel.
It's so funny, man. We hear all this hype about these guys, and then they don't do it when the actual
real game kicks
off.
I know, but it's the nature of the position, Joe. Yeah. That's why these guys move so much, because there's only one guy, only one quarterback.
Right.
So and it's the most important position on the field. So that's why these guys move. I don't have a problem with the quarterbacks.
Okay, but riddle me this. Didn't Rashada have the spot? Didn't Moore have the spot? Both of them out in the Pac-12? Weren't they both starters?
Moore was a projected star at UCLA, obviously.
Yeah.
And Rashada was competing for the job, probably would have won the job.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to play there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason he didn't want to play there. I don't know what the reason is. None of us do.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Let's make this the 10-10 take real quick as we're talking quarterbacks because Matt's eyes were led straight to the television.
So I mean, I'm looking at him right now. It's unreal, man.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
Oh, Sonny's, man, let me tell you something. They focus on the task at hand. They know they got to get that oak on. They know they got to smoke it slow, and they make sure they deliver it to you fast. Great meals you can count on any one of your area Sonny's, that's for sure. But Matt was looking up. He sees J.J. McCarthy, and then I'm looking at the odds. J.J. McCarthy is like this meteoric superstar in the draft. And I know there have been others that have done this, but they're talking now, J.J. McCarthy, if you're looking at the odds for the number two overall pick, you're losing. You have to wager more to win. It's minus 150 for Jaden Daniels going second overall. Drake May is plus 120, so you could get a little bit of return. Now, J.J. McCarthy is the third best betting favorite to be the number two overall pick going to Washington, plus 800. It blows my mind. I look at it, I'm like, what do they see that I don't see? He's now the latest one that I'll be watching to see whether or not everyone was fooled in draft season to say this guy is this rising star and I can't live without him. Therefore, I'm reaching very high in the draft.
Yeah, but let's be fair.
That is the 10-10 take.
You saw him against Ohio State. Yeah. Did he play well against Ohio State?
Yeah, it was a damn good team.
Hang on a second. Did he play well?
Yeah,
yes, he did. Now, you saw him against Alabama. He threw three touchdown passes. He's the reason they won that game against Alabama.
He played well. Yes, he did.
Then he played well in the national championship game, too.
They didn't need him to do a whole lot, but I get it. I get it. So now we're talking about three games. You know, they won games where he didn't even throw a pass in the second half.
It's Penn State, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so I just look at him like, what are they – and I don't know.
Why does this feel like Mr. Trubisky all over again?
Really?
It feels like the skyrocket of Mr. Trubisky.
Really?
Hey, I mean, just telling you. I mean, this guy went from late first round, middle first round,
that's
top 10,
example.
the number two pick overall. And nowhere am I comparing him to Mr. Trubisky.
Yeah, Trubisky did
skyrocket. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, RJ, let's get another that in here real quick before we hit the break.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Speaking of guys who skyrocketed in the draft.
You have any Taps music, RJ? Yeah, all right.
So Zach Wilson, maybe one of the all-time draft risers. One big season there at BYU. Jets have finally given up, officially. Traded him to the Broncos.
They gave him permission to seek a trade, and then nobody called. And so Zach Wilson, his career in New York is over. Okay. Dayton, mom's BFFs and everything. It may still continue, but his career in New York is over. He has been traded to the Denver Broncos, and he's Sean Payton's problem now. And Sean Payton may still be looking at moving up.
Sean Payton, by the way, is the ultimate I can fix him guy.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
Yeah, and then he and Russ did not get along. And so now let's just see how it goes with old Zachary. That's for sure. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We're going to get back to the draft. Stay on the subject you care most about. We've got our X-Poll question. Tell us what you think. And basically, give us the combination of what you want them to see in the first two rounds, what your Jaguars should do in your mind. Is it offensive line and wide receiver and cornerback? Give us the exact combination that you'd like to see. Go to X and vote on that. A Mocama Beer Company Monday. It is XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. The Weekend Rewind, brought to you by Cycles of Jacksonville, the big boy toy store for big boy toys.
Shohei Ohtani sends one to the moon to give the Dodgers the lead.
Smashes this ball. Forget about it. Marte doesn't even move. It's gone. 2-0 LA.
The Oklahoma City Thunder's young guns show poised to win game one.
And here we go. It's McCollum. Pick and roll action, Nance. Inside, extends, Holmgren turns him back. Gilgeous Alexander, guarded by McCollum, chisels into the paint, flicks it up and in, and contact.
Ryan Garcia delivered sweet chin music to Devin Haney.
Out back.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
His last time up, sends one towards right center field. Fernando! Up into the air to make the catch! That's not Superman! That's Fernando Tatis Jr.!
A lot of good stuff from the weekend. It even spilled into this morning with Scottie Scheffler winning again on the PGA Tour as he takes the RBC Heritage. But that Tatis catch, oh my. I am not one to root for that team out of the NL West. But if you saw the slow-mo of him, it looks like Air Jordan, does it not? It looked like it was just a beautiful shadow of him sitting on the, you know, like down on the grass and those legs fully stretched, boom, like he was dunking a basketball. Tatis with a great, great play and plenty of other ones from the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, everything that took place over the weekend. Don't forget Cycles of Jacksonville. They always want your weekend to be fun. If you missed out, just drop on by their showroom on Atlantic near Regency Cycles of Jacksonville. So you think about the way it's setting up as we go into this, you know, stretch with the transfer portal, everything that's going on. We've got fans on the text line that are saying, you know, leave DJU alone. He's going to be fine. Jaden Rashada, he went out to the West, played okay in the Pac-12 land, but will he be able to do that in the SEC? You got all sorts of opinions that are out there. But this transfer portal, something I didn't realize, SEC player cannot go to another SEC school without penalty. Is that still correct, Matt? Because I believe that's the rule right now. Whereas other SEC player could leave the SEC and go to other schools without penalty.
It's from the late portal, the spring portal.
For this second go-around, right?
Not the
first one.
Correct.
Right. And why is that? I didn't realize that.
Because they realize they're the SEC and that players will go back and forth in between schools.
So they're just trying to slow that.
They're trying to as best they can keep players on their teams within their conference and not hurt other teams.
Makes
sense. You know what I mean? Help other teams. Hurt one team and add to another team in the conference.
Right.
Late in the process.
Yeah.
I think eventually that's going to go by the wayside, too.
Of course it will. Mm. Of course it will. But I'm just thinking they're just trying to slow the behemoth down just a little bit, which I totally get. But anyway, that's the rule. That's how it is. All right, so is J.J. McCarthy, let's get back to the conversation we were having about the Michigan Wolverine quarterback. Like, you were based, Leon, when you got your first-round grade, on what you did. And basically they said, look at the skill set. We love the skill set. And just the one thing that's kind of getting me a little bit with J.J. McCarthy, which I like the potential of what I see from him, but they're almost judging him on what he didn't do as much as every other quarterback in the draft did. He didn't throw it as much. He didn't engineer the offense. He wasn't responsible for over 60% of the offense like some of these other guys are, like Jaden Daniels is. Yet he is getting all that hype because of the great unknown.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that Matt had alluded to when we was off the air. He said that maybe he's saying that J.J. McCarthy is getting all this attention because the offense that he in is
it's part of it. Yeah,
it's part. Yeah, the offense that is in
he's,
is conducive
he's played
to
in a
the
pro
NFL.
In a pro offense
pro
the
offense.
Last 2 years. And it's, you know, the other guys have all played in these spread systems, and he's played in a pro offense, and that's managing a game is a big deal. That doesn't mean that's the reason. I'm saying that's part of the reason. Also, bigger part of the reason is what I said earlier. He played really well in big games down the stretch for them. I think had he not played well against Ohio State and they still won, had
I
he not played well against Alabama and they still won, he wouldn't be rising like he is now.
I think
big games came around, and they, I'm telling you, man, scouts, at the end of the day, it's like going home to mama every time. You go home to mama, and mama is the tape, and the game tape is everything. And they watched that game tape, those last three games, and they were like, yeah, that's a dude that can play in this league. That's a dude that can start in this league. That's a dude that can win playoff games in this league. And if you're looking at just that little small part of his resume,
yeah,
I would agree with that too.
I guess the best thing that is happening from a Jaguars point of view is that he is in the conversation above 17. That is extremely valuable when you start taking a look at where he could go, what the odds are for all these quarterbacks and all the chatter as far as trying to stuff him in one of those top 5, 6, or 7 slots. And his odds among the top three, because we pretty much can agree, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. At least that's the way things are looking. The number three pick, the New England Patriots, the way they put it out over the weekend is we want our phone to ring. We want someone that's desperate for that one of those quarterbacks to come pick up our dial us. We'll pick up the phone, and let's do some business. But right now, it's looking like it's going to be Caleb Williams, and then two more quarterbacks are going to come off the board. Then if you add in, let's just say,
Jaden Daniels, then J.J. McCarthy, if these prognosticators are correct.
And Drake May.
Then Drake May still comes off the board before 17. So now you have four quarterbacks. You have the three receivers. We already did the math. You got
Michael
a minimum.
Penix is rising right now, too.
Yeah, who is?
Michael Penix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Bo Nix also rising. So, there's also a negative way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get four quarterbacks to go, or even five to go in the first 10 or first 11, you know, that leaves more players out there for the possibility of who they could pick, which more of a possibility to screw it up. So there's definitely a negative way to look at that as well.
It is so funny because, yeah, you're right. It's like you would like to think you're now going to have your pick of the pie. You can just kind of reach in and cut your own slice and get that.
Right, well, you would like to think the correct decision would be made is what you would like to think.
Yeah,
but
of course.
The history of that is
why is that the quarterback's the only position where they really overdraft? I mean,
they're one of them, bro.
I'm just saying.
And it's the most important. It's the most important position.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most important position. But every year we see it. Every year we see the rise of the quarterback that just came out the blue and you overdraft for a guy. Mm-hmm. Teams get nervous.
Because you have to, honestly. Yeah. If you think about it, it's such an important position, you almost have to overdraft. You almost have to say, all right, this guy's going to do it for us. Because now we're seeing it now. This is, Zach Wilson's traded. He's gone. Look at that. Trevor's entire class, he's the only one, right, mm-hmm. of those quarterbacks mm-hmm. who's still where he was drafted.
Yeah, because we knew that once he had asked for permission, he was going to be gone. Then the Justin Fields deal became official. Trey Lance had already been moved. Those were the –
Justin Fields. So that's three quarterbacks who are gone after 3 years.
Yeah.
That were picked in the first – how many picks? 11, 10?
Well, yeah, because the first three were Lawrence, Wilson,
right.
Lance.
Right,
and then Fields and
was,
then –
11, I think, or 10, something like that.
Something like that.
And that's not good for the league. When you've got all those quarterbacks right now in Trevor's class, they're all moved to other teams. And
I know, but I think that's a trend now. I truly believe that now in the league, if you don't do it in 2 years at quarterback, they're done with you. They're moving on.
It's just an expensive mistake to keep making.
It is.
It
absolutely.
Really is.
At the most important position on the football team, you get 2 years, you're done.
Yeah.
Don't get 1 year to develop. Throw you out there amongst the wolves to mm-hmm. be eaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, Mac was done basically after 2 years, was he not?
Yeah.
Well,
he
made the playoffs the first year,
right?
Second year, he ended up getting hurt and was trying to come back.
Was dealing with the defensive coordinator called
plays
for him, right?
So he had the excuse, the built-in excuse, and then came the third year where Bill O'Brien, who he had at Alabama, went up to New England and was supposed to just
He had Sark at Alabama.
Yeah,
but still, O'Brien.
Okay,
was,
yeah, you're right.
O'Brien
yeah.
was the guy who was supposed to change him, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it didn't work. But he was – by year three, you could tell, midway through year three, it wasn't going to last.
Oh
like Zach
God.
Wilson, you could tell it wasn't going to last. Justin Fields, you could tell it wasn't going to last.
Yeah. All right, let's carve out a little room for the quarterback whisperer. He will dive into these and many more subjects coming up as we head into the 3 o'clock hour. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Sirs, RJ Saunders, thanks for hanging out at XL Primetime with Mokama Beer Company bringing you Mondays. Don't forget Mokama.com. You can see all that great craft that they are constantly cranking out and brewing up there in Nassau County at their original tap room on South 8th. Or their Wildlight location, or you can pick them up at ABC or Total Wine.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Now, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security, security and automation experts, and George Moore Chevrolet.
1, 2, 3. Hey!
I always feel like when I hear it, it's like, we got to huddle up. Now, I know we're all close together here. If you watch it on YouTube, there's four chairs and we're all seated. But I just got to feel like when we hear it, we got to huddle up, Denny.
I feel like grown man huddles that aren't a part of football are a little bit weird.
It is a little weird.
I agree. Yes.
Like every once in a while.
Just refrain from all the touching.
Yeah, a little excessive. Like, yeah.
Like arm in arm and none of that. No,
I mean, if you need
hugging,
a hug, I'll come
bro
hug.
Hug. Yeah, bro hug.
What's
bro
wrong
hug.
With you guys, man? I'm secure in my masculinity.
I love the bro
I
hug.
Am too, but I don't want touching the knees and thighs, there's no need for that.
Yeah, the knees are.
No,
like, when
you're
flying on a plane, if two guys are wearing shorts next to each other, that's a bad thing.
It is.
Well, the other thing is I don't need my boys mixed in
with
your boys.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I mean, you're the one that brought the huddle up.
Exactly.
It
does feel like we should get in a huddle. We'll do that later. All right, so Denny Thompson, our quarterback whisperer, is in with us, and we're going to talk about some of the quarterbacks, and we were arguing earlier about guys moving and why they leave and all that kind of stuff. But let's go back to the conversation, Leon, that we had at the end of the 2 o'clock hour. Throw it Denny's way. Yeah. Because there is some movement.
Well, yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think it was last year Tom Brady was saying something about the league being watered down, and I think he was essentially talking about maybe the quarterback play. And he was saying a lot of these guys are giving, like Matt was saying, alluding to, they're given 2 years and then they're bounced.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm a stickler on player development. Mm-hmm. And the NFL should be. But most of these cats that they overdraft and bring into these leagues, you know, they're given 2 years to perform, and by then they're either out the league or they're back up.
And it's not even – Mac, you can go on and on.
Well, it's not even the player's fault. I mean, I got a lot of thoughts on that. My first thought is most quarterbacks don't play their best until years 5 to 7, mm-hmm. and then they will have
in
a good
–
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they will have a good career beyond that because they're not getting hit. Like, they can play till they're 36, 37, right? And now with – the way we know all the things. Practice mm-hmm. has changed, all that kind of stuff, right? But at the same time, we have deemed the quarterback position so important because it is
yeah.
that guys are put in situations. I'll say it this way. If it wasn't quarterbacks, are we really talking about picks 2, 3, and 4 being like quarterbacks? Like, are they really picks 2, 3, and 4? You know what I mean when I say mm-hmm. that, Leon? Like.
Yeah.
I think
value.
2, 3, 4, 5 are like franchise changing
That's
home
what they're supposed
run.
To be. Yeah.
Like, this guy can't miss guys.
Yeah.
But because the quarterback position is so important, now all of a sudden you're not Jaden Daniels. You're number 2 pick,
right.
Jaden Daniels.
And it's not, this should be, as you said, a can't miss. This is a crapshoot. This is a roll of the dice.
No doubt. And if you're Marvin Harrison, you got to be over there going, are you serious right now? Like, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't think it's not anybody's fault. I would like to see the addition of another quarterback spot on a roster, mm-hmm. a fourth, that I think would allow for a little bit more development. I think right now when you can only carry 2 quarterbacks, a third is an emergency, like the NFL, you got to win. So if I don't feel like this guy is going to help me win next year, then I got to get rid of him after year, what is now 2. It used
right.
to be 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now it's 2. And the team doesn't win on that. The city doesn't win on that. The kid doesn't win on that. Nobody wins on that.
Right, but here's the thing. It's the position, the nature of the position, the importance of it, and it's the importance of winning now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no more patience in any sport, okay, or anything for that matter, society in general. So that's what's compounding the problems for these quarterbacks. Now it's you've got to go in there and play well in year 1. So they say, all right, we see what we got, let's move forward. And if it doesn't happen, then immediately you're saying, all right, we can't afford to lose 3 straight years.
Oh, no
doubt.
We
got to change.
No, I understand the root of the problem, but the solution is more development.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to solve for this problem, something's going to have to give. Because the reason why there's only 1 out of every first-round guy that hits right away is because you have to be elite. And by definition of elite, not all of them are going to hit. Only 1 are going to hit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's literally the definition of it. So you're not solving for the problem. And that I think that's the issue that I have is I watch these guys throw every day and – these are the best throwers in the world, whether they're the best quarterback or the 64th best quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are elite at what they do by nature. But when you put them in together, like, we don't – the cream doesn't always rise to the top right away.
It's such a different world right now. We're talking with Denny Thompson, our quarterback whisperer. You guys got a question. You can hit the text line at 641-1010. There was a time when you could stockpile in the college game because you could figure out a way to red shirt, gray shirt, all this kind of stuff. And you get to the NFL, and there are – basically, your roster's cut in half. And like you said, you can't carry more than 3 quarterbacks. It's a great idea, what you're saying, that if you could allow a team to have that extra exempt spot to develop a quarterback, that it would help the league. But every NFL team is so desperate to get theirs, they won't allow it.
No, I know. It is really –
which sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably – a problem that will never be solved. And that's mm-hmm. probably the reason why we love this sport so much is because, I mean, you already got elite athletes and now you're dealing with elite minds and just the elite of the elites, the only ones that survive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of that league, right? Like
mm-hmm.
you're all of you guys, everybody, even the worst player on an NFL team is an elite individual as a human being.
Yeah.
But now we're taking this like 1% thing to a whole ridiculous level when you're out there seeing how hard these guys work. They sacrifice so much to be elite,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's almost a game of like finding – that's why it's so hard to find who is the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. they all look the same initially,
mm-hmm.
at least in my experience. Mm-hmm. And then like every now and then you'll see one guy that you're like, oh, yeah. that's different. But there's only one of those.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, let's revert real quick to the college game, and I want to talk about Florida State and the idea of if you have a fifth-year quarterback, knowing that spring is set up for the offense, spring is set up to let's just have some good stuff. Let's get some good tape out there. Let's feel good about ourselves about where we're going offensively. And a guy completes 13 to 29 passes.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yeah, and I know some mm-hmm. of it was situational. Some of
DJ
it was game.
DJ, you let everybody know okay? who we're talking about.
DJ Uyunglele. That to me, that is a situation, and I watched it, and he like, this is the problem I have with him, and maybe you see this too. He's constantly moving. He's never set. He never frames himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's always moving, and it'd be different if it was like Jordan Travis is always moving, but Jordan eventually his last 2 years figured it out.
Right.
Just moved a little bit in the pocket.
Right.
And could still frame stuff. Could still make throws. DJ's always moving. His mechanics are always messed up, and it just didn't look good.
He's a long guy. Like he's
got that
he's
just, long yeah. throat.
Well,
right? I mean,
he's just a long human yeah. being, right? And yeah, so those guys, if something gets off base, if their center mass moves forward, if there's just little things that if it happens, it looks a lot worse than if maybe somebody my size, the
right.
same thing were to happen, because I don't have as long of arm, so I'm not flailing all over the place. I did not see the game, but – yeah, I mean, that would be a little concerning. I'd need to see the incompletions, you know, but if he's missing guys,
there were a couple drives, that'd be a little concerning. He was missing guys.
Yeah, and there were some that were at the, I don't know what they call it now, but the Garnet and Gold game, and that there were some drops. There were definitely some drops, and that there was at least some defense of him
yeah.
still.
Yeah, well, I mean, that room is good, too. Mm-hmm. That's a good room, led by mm-hmm. the quarterback coach. They'll get that figured out.
Yeah, plus, well, and Luke was injured for much
yeah,
of the
Luke
spring,
was
right?
injured, yeah. Well, he was, I mean, just
Luke
had an ankle at
yeah.
the end. Yeah,
but he's
so
a
he
guy
didn't play.
That you would think he could.
Oh, I think the world of Luke. I think Luke is one of the five best prospects I've ever seen at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very high on him.
So you're not still crossing out the fact that he could still win the job at some point?
I think it'd be tough. I mean, you got – you know, the kid that was there before him, and I don't know how much they just gave DJ, but I'm assuming they gave him a decent amount of money. The cards are stacked against, for sure, but he's talented enough that he could play.
Are we at the point now in the NFL with college football is where if you're getting paid, you're going to play? Is that really where we
well,
are
sure.
right now?
I mean, you're going to get the first nod, I would think. Somebody's got to – I mean, that somebody's paying that kid.
Mm, yeah.
I right. mean, if you don't play him, then you've got a booster to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did you have me spend this money?
You better believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we go again.
Exactly.
The best guy not necessarily plays, the highest paid guy plays. All right.
Welcome to the NFL. now, then on the flip side, you know, DJ in his spring game, Cam Ward.
Yeah.
He is buzzing.
Yeah.
I'm getting calls and texts and Big Sir, we got us a quarterback now. I mean, so
but you're still not bought in?
A little bit because I'm hearing enough from yeah. the guys that were actually at the games that said that this kid's legit.
He's seen a lot of ball, Leon.
I know that. I like that he's a fifth-year senior. Mm-hmm. I like that he's played a lot of ball. So absolutely, I feel confident going into the season after what I've saw this spring.
I'm a big fan. I mean, we spent some mm-hmm. time with Cam. I'm a fan of all of our guys, but Cam. There's just something, and he's the kind you can't really put your finger on it, but there's just something a little different about Cam in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Ball pops out of his hands. He moves like the way he moves it. Just some guys look awkward. He doesn't. He looks very smooth, and even off platform, if you watch him throw,
mm-hmm.
He's just that's arm talent, right? That's what arm talent is. I may not be set up for the throw great, but my arm is so talented that it's going to fix it, and Cam has a lot of that. Right, so I think as long as he's got some cats to throw to and is protected well, and I don't know anything about Miami's roster, but as long as those two things are decent, he's going to be a great quarterback. He will one up whatever that talent is around him.
Yeah, and that's all they're looking for down there. Mario knows it. Shannon Dawson's second year as the OC, but now it's a new guy coming in, picking up his terminology. And at the very least, Cam Ward is such a – looks like such a gifted prospect that can move when he needs to, obviously stay big, strong, take hits, and then deliver the
football. I mean, that's a guy that we were doing draft prep with a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
trying to get him ready. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, he was – there was something about Miami that made him go, oh, well, you know what? I feel like I can not only play win, but also improve my draft stock by going down there.
Mm-hmm. Rick Ross.
Oh, well, I mean, you got to be that guy. Yeah, but there was money on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know that there's probably more money on Sundays for him right now than there is on Saturday. So there's something about it he liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, we're talking with Denny Thompson, our quarterback whisperer. You can jump in on that. We had some spring games that we were looking at. I want to get back to this betting odds for the quarterback play. So J.J. McCarthy, just to be the number two overall pick, has jumped from 25-1 to 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that theory, like we said, they're reaching or they see something that they think they can get out of him.
I feel like we talked about this a couple months ago. It's when you look in the NFL, you're looking who has a big engine. Like that's how you measure ceiling. And if you're going to look at those guys, JJ is very athletic, has shown enough that he's got – you know, pocket awareness, things like that. He's not looking to run, but he can. So it doesn't surprise me. I have no idea who's going to go 2, 3, or 4, but I almost think it's like just shake him up in a hat and pick one.
Yeah,
I think those three guys are more depending on what your preference is as a team than because they're so close in talent.
But it goes back to our theory. There's going to be one that's elite, and then there's going to be two that'll be successful, and then two that won't be successful.
The odds are stacked against
you. If you're going with five.
The odds are stacked against you to be great in the NFL. Like, I mean, there's very few. Anything in life, the odds are stacked against you to be elite. That's what makes getting to be elite so great.
Yeah.
Like, you're defying the odds. So, but those odds are always going to be stacked against you there.
So you believe Caleb will be the guy that's elite. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
So the guy that you believe will be a good player in the league is JJ, right? So the others are kind of
a
little shaky.
I could see all three of them in a scenario where they're all – I feel like they're all going to be in the league for a while.
Okay.
I just don't think that there's – I know there's not four quarterbacks in one draft that's going to live up to top five billing.
Right, and all be starters.
Right.
Because if we go to the 2021 draft, there's one starter left.
Yeah.
One starter left.
Out of a class that everybody thought was amazing.
Yeah, there were five quarterbacks selected in the first 15 picks, and there's one starter left.
Yeah.
And that's Trevor. All right, so we got our quarterback whisper for another seg. We got Jeff Cameron coming up at about 20 till 4 to talk FSU spring game. So hang out with us. It is XL Primetime. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ, along with Denny Thompson.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.
With the 17th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select C.D. Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
Here's Prescott, looking to throw a fade for C.D. Lamb. He's got it! Touchdown, Dallas!
Well, C.D. Lamb, as we continue our countdown with the 17th pick all the way up until the Jaguars make the 17th pick of the first round Thursday night. C.D. Lamb, pretty good one. 2020 is when he went. Now, he hasn't said 100%. He ain't showing, but he wants some more money. He wants some more money in Dallas. And C.D. Lamb definitely had him a hell of a season this past go-around. All right, we've got Denny Thompson hanging out with us. One more segment, Mokama Beer Company bringing you Monday's show. Big Sirs, when I don't know what the draft report was or the analysis was on CeeDee Lamb in 2020 when he was coming out, but read your draft analysis for Denny.
Yeah, this is a scouting report. It's always interesting to see what they say about guys, you know, before
the draft.
So this
is somebody from the past?
It could be. I'm going to let you determine who it is.
All right.
Calling blank as a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL. And honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. He would be a risky pick.
Josh Allen.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
But I'm wrong.
Yeah,
keep
you're wrong.
Going.
Keep going.
Keep going. You get another one.
I hope it's somebody so good, like Patty or something.
Mahomes?
Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding.
Patrick Mahomes.
So
that was happy. That was his scouting report when he came out of Texas Tech. All that. All
Who
those
are
variables.
These scouts?
I have no
classic.
Idea.
Because last year, I don't know if y'all, if I ever told y'all this, but I got so angry at the combine last year, Anthony's year, because one of these internet scouts decided to fire off a tweet
talking
about, is no one going to talk about the obvious character problems with Anthony Richards? And that let me know that these scouts just make stuff up, because Anthony Richardson has more character than anybody I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And this guy's just firing off tweets. So I don't.
They're looking for clicks. That's all they're
looking
is.
For something.
Crazy.
It is classic. All right, RJ, pull up our X poll and let's update them, because when you have a quarterback, the quarterback wants weapons. And we were asking the question earlier about whether or not Jacksonville is going to move in a direction to maybe go get somebody in the first round to help Trevor. All right, update our X poll real quick, and then we'll get back to the quarterback conversation, because either one of these guys on the offensive side would help Trevor, that's for sure.
Yeah, the XOP poll question brought to you by Beaver Toyota and Beaver Chevrolet. What two-position combo for your Jaguars would make you the happiest after the first two rounds of the NFL draft?
What would make Trevor the happiest? First two. And we have mentioned as our possibilities, offensive line and wide receiver, along with all the other options.
Well, I mean, those are, I think, that would make for Trevor, yeah, obviously. I think, interior, or I don't know, offensive line in general. And I keep remembering they tried to sign Ridley. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanted another receiver.
Yeah, they did. They were not done.
Right? Like, this was
after
something
they got Gabe Davis.
Right. Yeah. After they got Gabe Davis, like, they really went after and put a lot of money towards Calvin Ridley. So for that reason, like, I just got to think in this draft, like, they're still – they haven't signed anybody since then.
Nope.
So they're still looking at that receiver position, and it's so deep, man. I'm a fan of a couple guys beyond that first four is insanely talented. First three is insanely talented. But, like, if I can get Ladd McConkey late in the first, early in the second, if he's still sitting there.
Like, he does look like he is he's come from a successful system. He's won. Leon always talks about how they like to look for winners. He certainly is one of those. He's had to battle through injury. Great route runner. At least that's the talk about him. Comes from NFL stock.
I don't like the great route runner thing to me is correct. Mm-hmm. He knows football. Mm-hmm. So he's not just a great route runner. He understands what he's trying to accomplish in that route. But blank all of that you just said and just go look, put all the receivers – in a bin and do like y'all just did with me on that scouting report. You don't know their names.
Right.
And go look at this kid's combine. Right. And you tell me, go find three more explosive guys than Ladd McConkey. And then throw his tape on and you're got to go, well, wait a second now. All right. This guy is unbelievable.
Well, I find myself falling into a Puka trap because I feel like Puka has now sent scouts and teams back to, what the hell were you doing? How did you not find Puka?
Yeah.
And he didn't go until whatever it was, 150-some pick.
Yeah, and now I say that, and I also will say that I believe this receiver draft will be one for the ages. I think it is that deep. I think there's receivers – there's probably four rounds worth of receivers. So you can come back and probably get Malachi Corley in the second. Mm-hmm. You can
Which
come back and get –
definitely
like
him.
So I would certainly understand if they didn't do that. But, yeah, I would think – what would make me happiest as a fan is I'm boring. I want to see offensive line, and I don't know the draft well enough. I don't pay enough attention enough, but is there that just space eater interior defensive lineman in this draft?
Well, all of a sudden.
Because if that is, that's what I would want.
Yeah,
because
I think one of our combinations might have been wide receiver and defensive tackle. All of a sudden, Byron Murphy is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
He's now atop. His odds are – really, really trending towards a top 10 pick. There's only one big man inside right now, at least.
What history tells you is if you have an elite quarterback and you have an elite defensive line and you have two good tackles and a decent interior, you win football games. That's what history tells you, right? So if you feel like you got your elite quarterback, you feel like you got your two edge rushers, make that defensive line elite, And let's at least knock that part out if you can do that.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that was most concerning about this team down the stretch last year, is that they got beat up interiorly, offensively, and defensively. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wouldn't mind big on big. If you give me big on big on the first pick, second pick, whatever, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah. And that makes sense, too, because that's been the rule since forever in the NFL. Like December, mm-hmm. the tougher teams up front win football games. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Any level of football, tougher teams win.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The tough teams on the line of scrimmage win.
And everybody's tough week one.
And you got to play clean. You got to play.
You do, but
if penalties.
You can impose your will on someone.
I agree.
Man, that is just
because we have
far and away the thing.
Yep.
One-on-one battles. Mm-hmm. This team lost more one-on-one battles from December 1 on than I ever would have imagined.
Well, and if you go back and you start to look at what we were all saying on Mondays, we were all saying the same thing over and over and over again. Well, they knew that too, but they didn't have answers. They didn't have an answer for when it's third and one. They didn't have an answer for when the other team had third and short, right? Like, I mean, they obviously knew that was the problem, so now is when you get your answers.
Yeah, it drives you crazy. It really does. So, you know, I know Jaguar fan, they want it all. They want to see a move up and get a Dunze or something like that. But it's like we have all said, is that would you rather have a big man protecting Trevor, giving him more time so we can find a Roma Dunze? But – if they go get a tackle, and this is what we all talked about to start our show, Denny, is that you have three starters right now. You have Anton
That's
Harrison,
why I said
Walker
interior.
Little, and Cam.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot.
Yeah,
you got a lot there for a team that has other needs. That's mm-hmm. that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said this during free agency when I thought they were going to bring Calvin back. I mean, there's two ways to play this. If you're really that good at quarterback and you're really that good outside, then just don't even front us like you want to run up the middle. Just mm-hmm. throw 80% of the time and just make sure you got some guys that can give you 2.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I mean, if that's what you want to be, Kurt Warner won a Super Bowl doing that.
Yeah, but Marshall Faulk also got third and one.
I understand that.
Yeah,
and I understand
third
that.
And one. They could line up and
but,
get a yard
but,
with
but
Marshall
if you know
Faulk.
That's your identity going in to the season, then, you know, just go all the
that
way.
That offensive line
it.
Was pretty good, too, for the Rams.
It was, but it wasn't. They didn't need all that time, is my point. Like they operated quickly.
I don't disagree with you, but I think at some point, like you're saying, okay, if you feel good about where you are at receiver, and I don't know what they do because they were trying to sign Ridley, okay. But you've got at the very least, including the tight end spot, you've got guys that can do damage, okay.
You got weapons.
Yeah, you have weapons. You got to make sure your quarterback's clean, man.
Otherwise, he won't be able to see more than
just,
one.
Yeah, I don't – and I know if you're with the guard, you can't pick a guard
that
high. I don't care.
I agree. I'm just saying if you don't feel like you're strong across the board up front, if you feel like you just need that one centerpiece, then go get it. Mm-hmm. But if you feel like you're not strong up front, then just go get faster, right? And then you can't – don't go into a season – where your strength is not the big guys and act like it's the big guys is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what you've got on your roster and understand how you have to play third and one.
No,
I understand what you're saying,
but I think my point is they did that last year. They said, all right, well, we're just going to throw it. And it didn't work.
No, it
right.
didn't.
Because they,
didn't work
and they,
well.
Cause they tried a bunch of third and ones and fourth and ones just straight up power. You know, hopefully there was a bunch of Leons up there to knock them off the ball, and it didn't work either.
That's got
to
be so frustrating for you to watch.
Yeah. It is, very much so.
Like when somebody is third and one and somebody throws, do you just lose it?
I do. I really do. That's an indictment on the whole offensive line.
It really is.
It really is. It's saying that you're not tough enough to get 1 yard.
And the
thought behind it is like that's the quarterback's decision based on box count, right? But what you're saying is you don't care if they've got 9 people in that box.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat my man. And run I expect the guys right. Yeah, exactly.
None of that. And I agree with what Denny's saying about the D line and then the offensive line and the quarterback. So I think they think they're good at quarterback. The D line, I think they think they're good there with Armstrong.
Armstead,
and the addition of Hamilton coming back. So I think they think they're good there. And, you know, Devin Lloyd told us on the show earlier this week, he's going to be moved around to where they're going to rush
that
him.
That I like.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably their next rush end type guy in mm-hmm. past situations. So if you feel like you've got that straightened out and straightened away, get that big dude, man.
Well, see, here's the thing that troubles me that they're not going to get an offensive lineman is because they made Fortner the scapegoat. They're basically saying, well, Mitch Morris, our kryptonite was interiorly at the center position, so we got us a veteran presence there that's going to help out the whole offensive line. That's what makes me think that they're not going to go out to the lineman in the first round. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying.
Big mistake.
It's going to drive him crazy if that's how it happens. All right, Denny, we appreciate it. Denny underscore Thompson. You can find him on social media. Of course, our quarterback whisperer. Thank you, bro.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. He is on his way out. We're going to say hello to Jeff Cameron, talk about that FSU spring game, how they looked, what did DJU look like in his eyes. We'll do that all coming up on the Mocama Beer Company Monday.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. It's Mocama Monday on XL Primetime. Head to the tap room at Fernandina Beach every day that ends with Y and enjoy some Mocama.
Thanks to Mocama, they definitely bring it to you on Mondays right here on XL Primetime. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy. And we got our man up in Tallytown, Jeff Cameron, part of War Chant, all things War Chant, all things Seminoles, as he joins us now. I'm from warchant.com. Jeff, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Joe. Good to be with you guys, man. How you guys doing?
Dude, I appreciate the time. It's gorgeous over here. I'm sure you got good weather over there, too. We don't live in a bad world, do we, bro? We do not.
Good times. We're talking sports. Beautiful day. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, is DJU living in a beautiful world? Because I'm rooting for this guy. I think he's got potential, but I did not necessarily come out of that scrimmage thinking that he has got a firm grasp on the quarterback position. Tell FSU fans what you think.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. But, you know, spring is where you are going to learn and pick up the offense, a lot of install there. So I didn't expect him to look refined. I didn't expect him to look polished necessarily just yet. I saw enough from going to the daily practices in camp to know that he was picking it up pretty quick and he had his really good days and he had some setbacks as well. You know, I think that's also who he is, though. You know, he's never completed a high percentage of passes. He's got a huge arm. If Florida State's able to run the ball and really showcase that off of play action down the field, I think they can best utilize his skill set. He's obviously a giant guy, kind of your prototypical 6'5", 250, you know, NFL-style quarterback in that way with a big arm. So it is going to be a different-looking offense this year. You're not going to have the fleet-of-foot kind of scatty version of Jordan Travis who could buy time. So it's going to be imperative that Florida State's offensive line step up this year because he's going to need time in that pocket to let those plays develop down the field.
Now, Jeff, coming from spring, what position grouping, in your opinion, is elite right now? What group that needs some work on?
Well, I would think the elite group is the secondary. They've got so many guys that most Florida State fans, like, their concern is that they're going to lose some of them in the portal because there's just not enough spots. They're really long, really athletic, a lot of kind of hybrid guys. So I think the secondary is probably one of the better secondaries in the country. An area where I would be concerned – well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not real sure how refined they are at wide receiver right now. You got a lot of guys who have real upside, but not a lot of guys that have done it in games. So I think there's a little bit of a question mark about those receivers taking the next big step forward to do it in games. Plenty of speed. I think this is a faster team than last year's team, deeper in that sense too, but not guys who have a ton of game experience.
Jeff, I want to circle back to the O-line as well. You talked about that being such a critical factor for DJU's transition. That's got some issues as well, right? I mean, like Byers hasn't necessarily been the type of tackle they thought he would be when they got him in the portal last year. There are guys like that need to develop, right?
Oh, without question, and you actually named the one that I was going to, so good on you, because that's right. Byers didn't play well last year, and he didn't have a great camp this year, and it wasn't a great spring showcase for him either, and I think that you would come out of that game saying to yourself, well, I'm not sure we're secure there. Now, they've got pieces that they can move around and some guys that they do like that are emerging. Look for the name Otto on the right side. He's a young man who really is as technically sound as they come. It's a matter of whether or not they think he's ready. He hasn't played in games yet. They could possibly look at him at right tackle. He had a very, very good camp. I wouldn't be surprised if Florida State didn't go out and bring in another offensive tackle, maybe two. I think they're fine at guard. They brought in Richie from Florida, who's a nice player with good feet and can really move. They're fine at left guard as well. I think the interior of the offensive line is very good, but they have question marks at offensive tackle. That is a fair assessment.
And Lucas Simmons is not a guy right now that's ready?
So that is a debate that I just had with the listeners of my show. I believe that they should probably do it. I think they should pull the trigger. Here's one of the reasons why. Robert Scott has been, you know, a good player for them, but he's also been injury-riddled, and he missed the vast majority of last season. kind of on again, off again. They would get him back. He'd play 15 reps. He'd be out for two games, come back. So if you can't rely on him to be healthy, then you probably need to go out and get another tackle or start to fall back on the five-star in Robert Scott. 6'8", long arms, good trunk. I think he could be ready by the fall. He was a little smallish up top after last year not being able to work out, really missing the entire season with an undisclosed medical condition. Came back, is cleared, had a good camp. I think he's got to get bigger and stronger up top, but he may be ready.
We're talking with Jeff Cameron, covering all things Seminoles. You can definitely check him out, warchant.com. And as he said, programming every single day as he's kicking it out, covering the Noles. So explain to me, and I'm sure most Seminole fans understand this, but the idea of having to wait an extra amount of time before going in the transfer portal because of a rules violation, what was the stickler there?
So that goes back to the Amerimus, if I could speak, Mims case, the lineman from Georgia. Yeah. And that, without getting in the weeds, basically Florida State was found to have violated an NCAA rule in contacting him. Now, of course, if you're a Florida State fan, you think to yourself, rules? What rules in college football exist anymore? Everybody transfers whenever the hell they want on the day that they want. What are we talking about? But I guess they did not go about it with the correct procedure, and they got caught.
Okay.
And so they had to wait an extra few days to be able to contact kids in the portal. My guess is, and they would never okay this, and they probably be aghast that I say it, but I've already said it here locally, and I doubt very seriously if they're trying to contact a kid in the portal and they're told to wait two extra days to do it, I'm sure there's a roundabout to that. I'm sure you could talk to a friend of a friend of a friend,
yeah,
who would let somebody know that they might be interested in him. So, to me, this kind of reeks of a slap on the wrist. I don't know that Florida State will really suffer the consequences of this, because I think anybody that they were seriously interested in, they've probably already contacted.
Mm. So, Jeff, speaking of portal guys, I mean, the five portal guys from Alabama, are those any potential starters? And the guys who've come in the portal, who's been the most outstanding one?
Yeah, Malik Benson, who got rolled up on in the spring showcase, is the kid that I think is their best receiver and is ready to play right now. Earl Little Jr., we all remember that name. That young man, I think, has a very good chance to start and be elite for them. He's part of that secondary where they have a lot of guys that they like a lot. Yeah, this has been interesting. I think that's the area. You have a running back from Alabama as well, and Roydell Williams, he looked really good. I think what's interesting with Norvell and the way that he's built this program is he recognized early on, look, there's a dearth of talent here. These fans will be impatient. I got to get Florida State back to winning and build this program somehow, some way. Well, he got the lifeline in the transfer portal, but what he figured out was that you can't just go call each and every kid you see on film that looks like a good player. You got to find kids that are going to fall in line with what you're trying to infuse in the program. So he has this sort of modus operandi of identify good players, but then challenge those players and let them know, I'm not just calling you because I think you can play and start over the guy I got. I'm going to want you to come in here and be a leader and then pave the way for the next guy. And kids have bought in. They have bought into that vision. I think it's one of the reasons Florida State's been very successful in the portal. Almost all of the guys that they've brought in from outside programs, whether it's LSU or Georgia or South Carolina or Oregon State, you name it, these are guys that have come in right away, hit the ground running, and really didn't upset the apple cart at all. They seem to understand sort of the way Florida State wants to do things. So I credit him an awful lot with that. They've remained incredibly consistent in the portal with the guys they'll take and the guys they won't.
Yeah, Jeff, I think the last 2 years, what has happened with the portal with them and how he has found a way to allow that transition to be as smooth as possible, a lot like what Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss. That's been the key, but how long can that continue? Like, how long can you keep betting that those classes, when they come in, the transition will be smooth? And at what point does it have to start becoming a more high school generated than transfer portal generated type of team?
They had their best class from a high school recruiting standpoint this past class. It was not as good as many Florida State fans would have wanted to see, because I think a lot of people sense that the other shoe will drop, much the way you just described. That at some point, your hit rate is not going to be 90%, and it's not always going to work out. That said, we live in a brand new age of college football. Maybe it can.
Right.
I mean, they went 13-0 last year. Maybe it can, but you're right. it seems like at some point you've got to see a big step forward in the high school ranks so that you're not perpetually reaching into the portal for a Keon Coleman or, you know, any of the players you've seen come in star. Obviously, they've been able to do it along the defensive front as well. They've done it at defensive end repeatedly. I mean, Jermaine Johnson was really the first big name that they brought in from Georgia, who then ended up as a first-round player. Obviously, Jared Verse is another kid. We've seen this time and again. They've done it along the defensive front, but they've done it on both sides of the ball. I do think that in all likelihood, sustained excellence is going to happen when you bring in four- and five-star kids at wide receiver and on the offensive line from high school year over year. They got to get better at it. They haven't been horrible, but they haven't been elite in the high school recruiting just yet.
All right, bro, before we say goodbye, Jared Verse, 17th pick overall, he's there. Jacksonville, just crazy not to take him, even though they've got Josh Allen just inked to a big old contract and Trayvon on the other side.
Yeah, they probably want to look. I mean, I love Jared Verse, and I would never tell you not to take him because he's been a fun guy to cover, and he was a really good player, and he's a really complete defensive end because he plays the run exceptionally well in addition to getting after the passer. So you got a complete guy. But if I'm Jacksonville, I'm probably looking somewhere else right now because I think I got that covered.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, bro, listen, we appreciate it for sure. Good stuff. Warchant.com. You can, of course, find the Jeff Cameron Show on X and keep track of everything that's going on up there in Tallytown. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, good being with you guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Yeah, good stuff up there, and he's all over it all the time. But that quarterback position, as he said, just like every other FSU fan out there that watched it, worrisome, you could maybe put in that category, or a hell of a lot of work still to do in that category.
Think about what he's hit in the portal in the last 2 years. Yeah. The players, Benson and Coleman. Look on the defense, Tatum Bethune. You just go right down the line with these guys. Jared
starting
Verse,
with Jordan Travis.
Petrel Cyphers. Yeah. Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
But my point is that you can't continue to expect, and even Lane Kiffin can't continue to expect to hit over and over and over in the portal. Right. At some point, you've got to become a 70% high school developed team.
Yeah, and Aaron Hester's one of the kids I believe was a recruit and played well. And Keziah Holmes, I believe, was a recruit. Those guys.
Hey, Johnny Wilson, all these guys were like guys that just portal guys, and they came in there and they were fantastic.
Yeah, it's the truth. All right, we are done. We say thanks to the Mocama Beer Company. Don't forget, you're going to get them every single day serving up great coffee, and then the tap room. Tuesday through Sunday, you will enjoy all that delicious craft. You can look for them online at mocama.com or find their satellite location at Wildlight or right there on South 8th Street, their original tap room, Mocama Beer Company. You know what we've got, Big Sirs, to give away before we are done?
Mm, what you got?
AEW, because we've got AEW Dynamite coming back to Daly's Place. So basically, it's going to be crazy from Wednesday to Thursday as we have the big draft party. So as we say goodbye and we get ready for the Frangie Show, RJ, what have you got?
Pair of tickets to AEW Dynamite April 24th at Daly's Place. Be caller number 2-641-1010.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.